following message was recorded live from Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta, Canada.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's good to have you here today. You know, I was thinking before I came up of all the things that you could be doing today, you came here. And we just want you to know that you're welcome here. I know a lot of you have come because you have friends or neighbors or people you work with that are going to be baptized. And we're just delighted to have you. I hope you feel welcome and just feel a part of what's going on here today. You know, in a few minutes, we're going to watch some people being baptized. They'll be baptized to my right over here. There's a baptismal tank. If you're over on this side, you'll see it on the screen. But I thought it would be appropriate just to take a few minutes to explain to you what's actually going on here so that you'll know what it's all about, so that you'll understand what these people are doing when they're actually getting baptized. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read you a little bit about baptism from the Bible. Maybe you've never heard this before. It might sound a little convoluted, but I'll try and explain to you as simply as I can exactly what's happening here. There's a place, several places, but one I'd like to pick today from the Bible that talks a little bit about baptism, and it says this. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he can't die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace." In that part of the Bible, baptism is mentioned 3 or 4 times. And in the Bible, whenever baptism is mentioned without a qualifier, it means water baptism, what you'll see here. Sometimes it's qualified and it says baptism of the Spirit or fire or something else, but when it just says baptism, it means what you're going to see here. What you probably should know is this is something that goes a long way back in Christian churches, all the way back to the time of Paul, who wrote those words, even before that, all the way back to Jesus. He's the one that suggested that his followers should be baptized. And it was universally practiced by Christians. It's interesting because the man that wrote those words, his name was Paul, and he'd never been to Rome. And yet his assumption was in writing that all the Christians there had already been baptized. So he talks to them just like they've been baptized. He just assumed that they would have been, which gives us a clue. The first clue as to what baptism is all about. You know what it's all about? It's about Christian beginnings. It's about the beginning of following Jesus. It's the beginning of the Christian life, if I could put it that way. Now, I understand that a lot of people that get baptized today, they've been Christian for quite a while, but the way the Bible talks about baptism, always it talks about it as the start line, the beginnings of following Jesus, of the Christian life. You can look at it like this, maybe an illustration of a race. If you watch a race, all the runners are lined up at the start line. And baptism is like that start line. And when the race begins, you cross the line. You're baptized. And then you cross the line and you begin to follow Jesus. There's a lot of Christians that they're still standing at the start line. They're in the race, but they've never actually crossed the line and started following. So that's the first thing you should know. It's about the beginning of the Christian life. And I thought maybe a better way to help you understand is just, you're going to witness some people, some children, some adults, some in between, some as old probably as Pastor Ken. We're going to get baptized here today. And you should know three things about what's going on here. If you remember these three things, you'll have a good grasp of baptism. It's true of all of these people who are baptized. First is this. Every single person being baptized has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Every one of them. They have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The words I read to you said this, that in baptism we were united with Jesus. Baptism is about Jesus. These people are standing up and saying, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's personal. And they're baptized to declare that publicly. It's like they're saying, we're not ashamed of that, so we're going to publicly identify with the person of Jesus. And it's quite dramatic, the symbolism really in baptism, because you'll see them go down in water and come back up again. And that's very symbolic because it's actually symbolizes what happened to Jesus. When Jesus died, and Good Friday is coming up in a few days, he was taken from the cross and he was buried. And then 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. So they're saying, I identify with this Jesus who was killed, buried, raised from the dead. It's a public identification with Jesus. So they're followers, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Might be worthwhile taking a step back from that for a minute and saying, so how did that happen? How did these people get into a relationship with Jesus Christ that's personal? Put it to you this way. First thing was, they heard something. They heard something. Somewhere along the line, maybe it was in a place like this, maybe it was through a friend, maybe it was wherever, but they heard something. You know what they heard? They heard that life could be more. They heard that there was more to life than they were currently experiencing. They heard that they were created, actually, for a personal relationship with their Creator. And that if they engaged in that personal relationship with their Creator, the parts on the inside that seemed to be missing could be all filled up. That there would actually be a sense of peace. There'd actually be a sense of rightness on the inside. In all of their pursuits and all of their life, they were always grasping for something they could never quite get their hands on. And they heard that a personal relationship with their Creator is what fills all the empty places in the heart. And they heard some really good news, that God the Creator so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him would never perish but have eternal life. They heard about Jesus, that he was God's Son, and that this is crazy, but you and I, we want to live, and we want to get as much as we can out of life. We are here to live. He came to die. His stated purpose from the beginning was to die, and his whole life moved on a trajectory to a Roman cross where he was put to death on the cross. You know what the Bible says about that? It says the reason he died on the cross was to take on himself the sin of the whole world and to pay the penalty for my sin and your sin, everything that separated us from God. He was going to take on himself and clear it out of the way. There's in the Bible some bad news and some really good news. The bad news is that the wages, the way it's put, is the wages of sin is death. That means eternal death. Sin is what you do when you live like God doesn't exist and really become your own God and do your own thing and make your own rules. Sin is something that has all sorts of symptoms, from lying, cheating, swearing, adultery, murder. The list is endless. We know that. And the problem with it is when we live in it, we actually hurt ourselves, and we destroy relationships with God for sure, but sometimes all around us. What Jesus said is that he would die on a cross, and he would take the penalty of death for us, for our sin. And he literally died. And then he was buried in the grave. And we wonder, did he really do that? How could that be? Then an amazing thing happened. 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead and brought him back to life. Same Jesus, same body, same voice, same friends, same everything. And he gave, I think what God was doing was saying, I will give you proof that Jesus really did what he said he would do, take the sin of the world on himself, now raise him from the dead. Nobody else has been raised from the dead like Jesus. Amazing stuff. These people that are being baptized, they heard all that. They heard they were created for a relationship with God, that Jesus paid their penalty, and that if they engaged personally with Jesus, they could have a relationship with their Creator. They could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. They heard, they went another step, and that was they believed. They heard what I told you. They actually believed it. Isn't that amazing? They maybe couldn't understand it all, but they believed it. And believing it, they went a further step. You know what that was? They accepted. They accepted the free gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life from God. They heard, they believed, and then they accepted. That's a personal transaction. They dealt personally with Jesus. They went to Jesus in whatever way they could get to him, and however they could say it from their heart, Lord Jesus, I would like a relationship with you. I'd like the free gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And you know what? When they said it from their heart, they received it. Relationship with Jesus Christ is a thing of the heart, not just the head. It's the whole truth about being a Christian. You're not a Christian because you're trying to make yourself good, because none of us are good enough, but he was. You can't go to church enough. You can't help poor people enough. You can't do whatever enough. A Christian is someone that just accepts from God the free gift of eternal life and says thank you, begins to follow Jesus Christ. It comes from the heart. The heart is the real you. You know, we talk about somebody putting their whole heart into something. A few years ago, there was a one-hit wonder who had an achy, breaky heart. You know, the heart is the real you. It's the real you saying to the real God, I would really like to have a relationship with you. And God gives it to you as a gift. You don't have to earn it. You just have to ask for it. So that's what these people are saying. They're being baptized, and they're saying, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I heard, I believed, I accepted. Second thing they're saying here is that I had an old life, but that's now finished and gone. And I'm starting today a brand new life. I love those verses I read to you, because they put it this way. They say, we died to sin, and that in order that we might live a new life. What does that mean? It doesn't mean they're perfect, because we're still just a bunch of sinners. It means first they're forgiven, and then it means that the power that enslaved them to a whole old way of living that ended up in the long run hurting themselves and hurting the people around them, that they've been set free from that. Doesn't mean they don't stumble around and sin, but what it does mean is they're not slaves to that lifestyle anymore. It was a life where, just as best I could, I tried to run my life and tried to set my direction in life, and basically I was God. This new life, they're basically saying, I'm getting out of the driver's seat, and I'm letting Jesus Christ be number one in my life, and I will follow him, whatever that means. They don't know everything about the Bible or God, but they're basically saying, as I learn about God and his will for my life, I'll do it because he's number one. That's the new life. It doesn't mean things get better. Christians aren't people that are, you know, have it all together, healthy, wealthy, and wise and all that. No, sometimes they're very unhealthy. Sometimes they're broke and lose their jobs. Sometimes life goes the wrong way, but I'll tell you the difference is, you have someone with you now, Jesus Christ, who promised he would never leave you, never forsake you. He would do life with you, and he would be enough for everything that you would ever face in your life again. It's a new life following a new, what's the right word? A new Lord, a new God, Jesus. It might not always look good on the outside, but I'll tell you what, he puts peace in the heart on the inside. He does. When I became a Christian, nothing earth-shaking happened except I woke up the next morning and I had peace on the... I'd never had peace before, and I had peace. It was an amazing thing. I wake up morning by morning by morning, and I have peace. and sometimes joy, but always peace. I love that. The world can fall apart around me, but God's put peace in my heart, and he'll do that for you too. These people are saying, we had an old way of life, we're starting a new one. Third thing they're saying, you should remember and know, because we're all witnessing this today, is that this new life they're beginning is the exact opposite of their old life. The exact opposite. They've entered into a new status. They were in this world where they were without God and without real hope in the world. Now they are in God's family, his dear children. They have hope. It's a new relationship, a new status. Best way I could describe it to you is marriage. When you're married, the day after you're married, you have the same name, same face, same house, same car, same amount of money. But you know, outwardly you look the same, but your status has changed. It's different. And so you're expected to live different, like a married person, not like a single person. Why? Because your status has changed. So if I make vows to my wife, I'm supposed to live with her and stay with her as much as possible, not be running around like I might have been before I was married, because my status changed. Now, what Paul says there is when you're baptized, your new life is different. It's the exact opposite because your status has changed. The things I used to do that God doesn't approve of, I don't do anymore. The things he approves of, I do. Because my status has changed. So the Christian life is now trying to be who I really are. Does that make sense? Be who I am. I'm a new person. So live like a new person. I'm a new person under new control. So follow Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. So I just wanted you to know that, because you're going to see these people being baptized. They're telling us, number one, they have a personal relationship with Jesus, and they're publicly declaring that. Number two, it's like they're starting a brand new life and an old life died. Number three, this new life, it looks very different than the old life, and starts on the inside and works its way out. And it's a great celebration when people are baptized. So I want to encourage you today, when they're baptized, just feel free to yell, shout, scream, cheer, clap. I mean, whatever you need to do, because every time new life is born, we celebrate, right? So we celebrate here. And it's a great day. We did that in the first service. We'll do it tonight. But I want to just take a couple minutes to do one other thing. To tell you this, I hope you get this, that God is not partial. He's not just into good people, certain people. He's into everybody. God did not send his son Jesus to condemn the world. If you feel like God is a God that condemns you, you got the wrong God. Because the real God didn't send his son to condemn you, but to save you. The real God didn't come to cramp your lifestyle, but to give you life to the full like you've never had it before. And you could get in on it today. There's no reason to wait. We're talking about a free gift. You could have it. Can you think today of one good reason why you wouldn't want to have forgiveness of all your sins and life like you've never had it before? That goes beyond the grave, eternal life, Jesus said. If you believe that, then you could accept that today. Again, it's a matter of you and Jesus talking. We call it prayer, but I call it just talking to God. You don't have to have the right words. You have to have the right heart. If you really want it, and you really mean that you would follow him, then you could ask him and he would give it to you right now, today. In a moment, I'll just say a prayer. And it's a simple prayer. If you prayed that from your heart and meant it, God would hear you and he would bring you into his family. He'd do for you what he's doing for all of these people. It's a simple thing, but it costs you everything. I should tell you that. It costs you your whole life, because now you're going to turn around and for the rest of your life, follow Jesus Christ, and it's always against the flow as soon as you get outside of this building. But I'll tell you what, it's worth it. And in the end, you'll not be disappointed. And then I'll push this one more level. We would baptize you right now today if you did that and you want to be baptized. It's like You ask the Lord Jesus into your life to forgive your sins. That's what a Christian is. You might as well get to the start line and get baptized. So when I'm done here, the people being baptized are going to go out the door. You could go out the door and you could go left into the cafe and say, hey, I just became a Christian. I'd like to be baptized. There's a couple of people out there that would say, great. They would give you a t-shirt to wear in there. Pants is your deal, but t-shirt they would do. You could, what a memory. Eh? You could talk for years with your kids about the day you went home with wet clothes from church and change your life forever. But we would do that. We would do that for you today. And I want to encourage you. If you're going to come to Jesus Christ, go all in. Don't go part way. Just go all in. It's the best. Now, if you're a Christian and you've never been baptized, it's like you've been at that start line forever. Why don't you cross the line today? Why don't you get baptized? We got water. We would do it. You could go out too and say, you know, I just want to get baptized. Been a Christian for a while. And Pastor Jordan Poulsen out there, he'd say, good, you're in. And he'd get you back here somehow. If it's really important you to go home in really dry clothes, then you can come back at 6:30 because we're going to do this all over again at 6:30. And you could get in on that too. Does that sound crazy? It does, but it'd be fun. We would celebrate with you. It'd be the best day of your life. So I just want to encourage you that option is available to you. Two things. One, you have to be over 18. You'll see people baptized under 18. That's because the parents have signed off on that. In our world, if you're under 18, everybody has to sign off on everything. So you can only go out right now if you're over 18. And we're not going to re-baptize you. This is for people that have never been baptized. If maybe you've been baptized before and you crossed that line and you started to follow Jesus, but you know you've been living like you used to have live in the old life. The answer is not to get re-baptized. The answer is to remember who you are, a new person in Jesus, and start living like that. That's the answer. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Let's bow our heads. And if this is you, you could just say these words in your own heart. And when I say amen, you could say amen. And I guarantee you, God would not turn you away. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for my sins. I know I'm not right with you, but I would like to be. And I would like forgiveness of all of my sins, and I'd like eternal life. Could you please give that to me? Because you said it was a gift. And would you help me begin from this day to begin to follow you? Would you give me yourself, your Holy Spirit, to live in me so that I would be able to live a new life? Thank you that you're alive because God raised you from the dead, and that you hear my prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, that's great. That's just wanted to lay the foundation for us all so we can witness some great baptisms here. And just before we do, what we're going to do, I just want to mention a couple things. We receive an offering on Sundays here. If you're not part of Crossroads, don't feel under any pressure. For those of us that come to Crossroads, we take an offering every Sunday, and it pays. That's how we pay for the building and the work that we do. So we'll do that, and then you'll see the people being baptized. A couple announcements. One is, if you're interested in Christianity, but you're not ready to sort of make that commitment today, but you have a ton of questions, could I invite you to come on Tuesday night? 6:30 in our cafe, we have a dinner, and it's the kickoff to a course that's about 10 weeks long that we call Alpha, and it's Christianity 101. There'll be a lot of people there. You're not kind of standing out there on your own. What we do is we have dinner together, then we watch a presentation on a screen from a very good communicator. Every week there'll be a topic like, who is Jesus? Why did he die? How do I talk to God? How do I pray? What's the Bible? All that kind of stuff. And then a time where we just, any question goes. You can ask anything you want. We find that thousands of people have gone through that in the last 15, 18 years here at Crossroads, and you would be welcome to come. That's this Tuesday at 6:30. Secondly, on Good Friday, we have two services here at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And you're welcome to come to those. Easter Sunday, you can bring your friends, neighbors, relatives. It's open for anybody. We have four services. If I can remember, they're 9, 11, 4:30, and 6:30 on Easter Sunday. And last Easter was a wonderful time. It won't disappoint this time as well. So let me invite the ushers to come forward, and they can come forward. Just as they're coming, I'll just mention to you that when people are being baptized, you might want to take a picture. That's Cool, that's good. But what I'd ask you to do is that wall to my right, just if you would line up there if you're taking a picture and kind of take it from the side, because there's a camera on that pillar that allows everybody else to see the baptism. And if you get right in front of the tank, we'll all miss the baptism. So if you can take it from that wall on my right, your left, that would be awesome. Lord, I thank you for these people being baptized. I thank you for this day. And I thank you for the opportunity to give our gifts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.